So I bought something on Amazon this week, and I want to show it to you. I'm not sure if you'll be able to see it. It is Donald Trump as the Buddha. He was $13.59. And I bought him as a figure of fun. And people who've come into my home have had many raised eyebrows and quite a chuckle. My wife Jennifer says, "Get that thing away from me." But I've come to understand that for me, this is not a joke. That for me, Donald Trump as Buddha is going to sit on my altar as part of my spiritual practice. Now, it's possible that I have lost my mind, but for me, the events of the last 2 weeks have created an enormous spiritual dilemma that perhaps you have shared, which is, how do we practice with hatred? How do we practice with outrage? Now, this is not going to be a talk about politics. And people who hear this talk may have very different feelings about the political situation. That isn't what's important right now, right here, as we think about our practice. What's important is, how do we manage and work with hatred? And so I would ask you to think in your own life, where has hatred arisen? Hatred so strong that you feel it's almost unbearable. May have been long ago, may have been recent. There's a story that the Dalai Lama tells that has come back to me a lot in recent weeks. He tells the story of his friend, a Tibetan monk, who was held in a Chinese labor camp for 15 years. And when he was finally released, the Dalai Lama asked him what the hardest part of his captivity was. Was it the torture? Was it the brutal regime of labor? And he said, he was truly in danger many times. And when the Dalai Lama asked him what the danger was, he said, "I was in danger of losing compassion for my captors." When I first heard this story, I wasn't buying it. I thought, this is some kind of spiritual bypass. We often use the phrase spiritual bypass to mean, under the guise of spirituality, pretending that experience isn't what it is, that our experience isn't what it is. Who, me? No, I don't feel hatred. I don't feel aversion. I'm an enlightened spiritual being. And of course, our way teaches that that's not true for any human being. That in every heart and mind there arises each of the three poisons. The Buddha famously talked about the three poisons of greed and hatred and delusion. And of course, they are poisons for the one who holds them, and they are poisons for the universe. But for me, the most difficult to bear is the arising of hatred, the arising of rage. And now, as I have witnessed so much suffering, people in my own hospital who are undocumented or who are trans, terrified to come to work, to leave their homes. A sister-in-law who works for USAID and talks about her inability to distribute life-saving medications and food to people when the food and the medication are right there ready to be distributed, all paid for, all transported. So much suffering. So what is the danger? What is the danger if we just let ourselves be enraged, outraged? The Dhammapada, which is a collection of the Buddha's teachings, thought to be from the 3rd century BC, contains the now famous saying, "Hatred is never appeased by hatred in this world. It is appeased only by loving kindness." Meaning, if we are left only with anger and outrage, if we are left only with hatred, where are we? We know what happens when people act on their hatred, when people commit atrocities, and then those who are harmed commit atrocities in response. And it goes on and on. And the Buddha said the only way out of these cycles is through loving kindness. Buddhism talks about what we call skillful means. We're not so big on labeling things as right and wrong. We're more likely to label things as skillful or unskillful. And what we have found since human beings have been alive is that certain things are unskillful. They just don't work. And cruelty and hateful actions beget the same. So if we do lose all compassion in the midst of hatred, then we simply do the othering, as is being done all over the world now. We fail to see other people as fully human. And we are left to wallow in this hatred. And as we know, what goes around comes around. The Dalai Lama is famous for saying, "The wise, selfish person takes care of other people." that when we really understand our interconnectedness, we have to find a way through our aversion, through our hatred. Now, another bypass could be that if we have to do nothing but love, then we put up with whatever happens. We don't resist at all. But that is not the teaching. That is not what Bernie Glassman was teaching in the reading we read tonight. It is that we sit and we discern and we wait for right action to declare itself. We set limits. We push back. And so, as much as I may try mightily to avoid demonizing and othering the people who are causing so much suffering, I will do everything in my power to resist. Zen offers perspectives that can help us when we are feeling overwhelmed with hatred, with despair. And I come back to these often in my own practice. The first is what we often call emptiness, or perhaps more appropriately, oneness, the complete interconnection of everything. And from this perspective, we take a broad view and we understand that people show up in all different ways. They always have. And that some people show up and cause harm. Some people show up and do great damage in the world before they're stopped. Just as some people are bodhisattvas and are here to ease suffering. So, from the oneness perspective, this is the universe universing, doing what it does, including people and activities that cause great harm and great sorrow. There is also the compassionate perspective. One general once said, as he was sending his army into battle, "All those soldiers you're going to fight, their sons, their daughters, their young fathers and mothers, they're somebody's brother or sister, and we have to stop them." From the compassionate perspective, we know that people come with their own deep wounds, their own karma. And there's been, of course, a great deal made public about Donald Trump's painful upbringing and how this manifests now in some pretty understandable ways. But this, of course, does not excuse, and it does not mean that we don't do our best to stop injustice and we stop harm. So these perspectives, the emptiness perspective, oneness, and the compassionate perspective, are also complemented by what we talk about in Zen as not knowing. Don't know mind. Now, this is not knowing as in, oh, I didn't know that detail. This is not knowing as in holding all of our certainties lightly. even the certainty of how things are going to turn out. Because when you think back to your own life, you know that things have happened that you thought would be terrible or you thought would be wonderful, and then they turn out to be something different, something you could not have predicted. And so as much as we think we know how all this is going to go, it will undoubtedly be different. So, emptiness, compassion, and don't know mind are three of the perspectives that we can hold when we risk falling into despair and inaction. Tonight, at the end of the evening, we're going to make our Bodhisattva vows, these four vows that include saving all beings. Of course, an impossible vow, can't ever be done. And it's the vow we need now more than ever. And so we start with our own hearts and minds, and we start by taming the hatred, by discerning where to go next, what to do next. We do this by leaning on each other. We take refuge in the Sangha. And we help each other balance between turning toward the fire and turning away when we need respite. But all of it is in the service of bearing witness, as Bernie Glassman says. Peacemaking is the function of bearing witness. Once we listen with our entire body and mind, loving action arises. Loving action is right action. It's as simple as giving a hand to someone who stumbles or picking up a child who has fallen on the floor. Our task is to listen with our whole body and mind as right action emerges, and to support each other as we move through this time. Thank you.